As evening shadows grow,
we worship the one who established both the day and the night.
Open us, God, to the dark night of faith.
That we might be witnesses to your love in troubled times.
Let us witness to our God as we worship this evening. Bow with me. Creator God, as we remember that you sent your Son into the world to become the Savior of all people, we praise you and wait for you in the shadows of the cross. Challenge us that our sinful acts will die within us and that we might rise up as faithful witnesses to the fact that your Spirit lives and reigns with us through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Come together and have a confession that we offer as a congregation and as individuals. Join with me. Gather us about your table this night, merciful God, enabling us to confess freely that Jesus' disciples at that first holy meal We do not understand what this means, why he is doing this, what his teachings signify, what part we have in his heavenly kingdom. Enable us to confess these confusions and our stumbling, halting efforts to follow him, so that we may be forgiven and restored by your mercy. And may we proclaim and celebrate Jesus Christ's friendship with us, bringing love and peace. We pray in the name of the same Jesus Christ, who is both host at the table and also our nourishment. Amen.
The message we have heard from Christ, which we proclaim to the world, is this: God is light, and therefore we are children of light. Proclaim to all the world that you have received the light and are forgiven. If we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You may be seated.
Our first reading comes from Psalm 116 in part. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Now, moving into the epistle to the folks at the church in Corinth. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The word of our God this very day.
Thank you.
we continue to hear God's word from the Gospel of John, 13th chapter, verses 1 through 17, and then the last half of verse 31 through verse 35. Hear these words from the Gospel of John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who says to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter says, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And then Simon Peter says, "Well, Lord, not only my feet then, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus says, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. And just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May God bless this reading, hearing, and the understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I've been preparing for tonight, I was thinking over the last week or so of previous Monday, Thursday services I have conducted or been part of in my career in other churches. There are no feet to wash tonight, but I think that there's something to be learned from that. One of the things that struck me as I thought about this night and this liturgy is that Maundy Thursday just might be the original liturgy of social distancing. When I have been in other churches, many people don't come to this liturgy, especially if you're going to wash feet. And those who come, only a few, will actually take off their shoes and socks and place their feet in another's hands, and then it's an even fewer amount that are going to actually wash the other people's feet. When it comes to our feet, there tends to be this social distancing. And I'm not making a criticism or judgment, I'm just saying this is what happens. But I don't think the hesitancy about what happens at Maundy Thursday has to do with our feet. I think it's about intimacy, and it's about vulnerability. And I think it's about opening ourselves to somebody else. You know, whatever it is, it's about entrusting ourselves to one another as people of God. It's about opening who we are. And I think that's what this night is about. It's about understanding
the relationships we have. So Maundy Thursday is not about the feet, never has been. I think Jesus is setting an example, and washing the feet is a way to sort of point us to look at something different and understand that. That love is the point of tonight. The only point to this evening. Jesus says, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And when I read that, I thought about if you were here on the Sunday when our conference minister was here and he substituted the word love for another word in the text. I'm going to do the same thing here with that feet piece. We're going to do love. And so Jesus says then, if I, your Lord and teacher, have loved you, you also would have loved one another. That's a familiar phrase. And Jesus said it before. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another, is what Jesus says. These are the words. It's a new commandment, he tells us. It's in Latin, it's called the new mandatum, that you love one another. And that's what makes Maundy Thursday Maundy. So the question becomes, is what does love look like? What does that look like? I had to think back of how things in my life have affected me. And so I went back to the pandemic, and from that point to today, and how it has affected how I view life, how I interact with people. And I thought about when we were doing all the pandemic stuff and we were masking, and when I was here with you in 2021 and we were still masking for services, but the doctors and the nurses and the first responders and all those people who were putting themselves to take care of us and putting their families at risk, I thought, that's the face of love. I think when we ask each other from that point forward, when I would ask people, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I think we had a different understanding and a different sense of sincerity in our voices, because we went through a time when we didn't really understand what this was doing with this kind of disease. That's the voice of love. As I scroll through my Facebook stuff, looking for people that I know, but you see these little posts sometimes of people who are still trying to do good, people who are delivering groceries, people who are making things, people who are taking care of the homeless in other cities, food distributions. I mean, all kinds of ways to help people. You even find the goofy, funny ones that people are doing about something that's going on in life that we can laugh at. Those are all little gifts of love as we look at them that way. You have heard me talk about noticing other people that we don't necessarily notice, and I always tell a story about food servers in restaurants and how I talk to them and write them notes and things. You just acknowledge people, you know, a cashier at the store, you know, the person who delivers your mail, you know, just a little noticing of others and thank them for what they do in this world. I got thinking about when I was here, when I started, I could take my mask off to lead worship. You all had to leave them on because you were sort of sitting in proximity to each other. And the first week you all took them off, I said, it's good to see you. And I really meant it, because it's the first time I saw your full face. But were we smiling still under the mask? I think we were. But you know, we couldn't tell, but there is that love that we shared. I think there's ways that we need to think about that. And sometimes I think about the statistics I see, and sometimes love can break your heart. It can do that as well. But then I think about all the people that I know that are working for the underprivileged in some way, shape, or form, doing the work that we support. And sometimes when I was physically able and younger, you did it as well. But sometimes Paul Ryan reminds us that it's patience and kindness and love to do those kinds of things. And then in my journey in this last year or so with you, and my life has taken a dramatic turn of my personal life, and I share with you, I did it on my Facebook page and I put it in the newsletter. You know, the people who reached out in text or messages or just said something to me or a phone call and saying everything will be okay. You know, to let me know I wasn't alone. That's love too. We say love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We say that. And for me, it means that relationships are really more important. How important it is to know one another. The day that Melissa was here from Camp Washington and shared, I rushed here after taking her out to eat lunch with her family, her husband, and some of the rest of us that went with her. I rushed back here to be in a Zoom meeting. I don't know if it was a meeting. It was a gathering of the Westermeyer cousins. And we were all meeting there. My cousin Paul, who's the oldest, he migrated to Minnesota, St. Paul. He taught music in a Lutheran seminary up there. And so we got together to do that. It was spurred on because my cousin Bob had died in December. And all of a sudden we realized we really didn't know each other very well. Even though we all claim the same set of grandparents, the lineage is all there. And so the first time in this meeting, my sister, my brother, my niece, my three nephews, my cousins, my second cousins, and my third cousins were all looking into each other on the screen. And it was sort of fun. We reintroduced ourselves or introduced ourselves. I mean, we had met tangentially over the years, but we didn't really know each other. And we laughed, and we remembered, and we loved. And it was we all said how great it was to be together. And then Rebecca, who is my cousin Paul's daughter, said, "It only took a death to make it happen." How many of us said that we see other family members, what? Weddings, funerals. Why do we wait? I have a ball cap that says, "Life is too short to drink cheap beer." But I should have a hat that says, "Life is too short to not love one another." I think we forget that our lives have changed. The world has changed. We change. And that in the midst of the sadness or the illness or the loss we might be feeling, it is Maundy Thursday today. It is a day to remember and to understand that we need to be a little more open, a little more vulnerable, a little bit more understanding in our relationships with one another, because we just tend to go on and on and on. And so we need to love, to look at other people in a way that we can see them and they can see us, and to share with one another. Let's not walk away from this night forgetting that we never should stop loving. Amen.
As we take time together about the table this evening to think about how we get here, I think sometimes we just gather to think that these are symbols of Jesus' body and blood. But when I look at a piece of bread, I have to think about who sowed the seed, who reaped the harvest, who ground it into flour, who got it to the baker that made the bread, before it gets to us, and we do that. The same thing happens with the cup. And whether it's wine or grape juice doesn't make any difference, but something has to be grown, harvested, pressed, put into a jar or pitcher, and then we do it. So many hands and many people have touched these things before they come to us. And then we share with others about how important this is. We are connected and we are loved. Paul writes and says to us on the night when Jesus was betrayed that he gave us the bread and the cup as a gift. And he said, "This bread is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Almighty and holy God, we bring before you two things this evening. We set before you ourselves, our bodies and souls, to be reasonable, holy, and living sacrifices. We place these elements on this table, and we ask for you to bless and sanctify with your Spirit these elements and ourselves to the holy uses for which you have appointed them, that we can continue to remember who and whose we are. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All things are now ready. To remind you, we're going to do by intinction, which means you come forward. John's going to assist me. So we ask you to take a piece of bread from one of us and then dip it into the chalice and then come back into your seat. And then I'll do a closing prayer and the benediction when we finish. So whenever you're ready and comfortable to come forward, please do. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the great mercy that we have received this night, that has blessed our souls, nourished our faith, allows us to go forth filled with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Be with us as we leave this place, as we continue to journey through this weekend, that we might remember what Sunday will bring to us. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Tonight we were reminded that we should love one another, that we should continue to see each other as people of God, people of faith, others who are on the journey with us. Don't separate yourself from them. Be connected with them. Open yourself a little bit to them so that you can share with them the importance of the faith. But most of all, that you can love them as another person of God. So let us go from this place knowing that God is always with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And before we leave, let us join together with the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.